All right. Well, it's New Year's Eve. Most people tonight will make New Year's resolutions. By this time next Sunday, most people will have already broken those New Year's resolutions. So we are not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. What we're going to talk about is moving forward into the future. That's what that song is about. And we can move forward into the future in a way that God says will keep our minds focused on Him, will keep our minds focused on the plan that He has for us. And make sure you know this. If you are a child of God and He has not yet called you home, He has a plan for you. He has a job for you. And in 2024, I hope that He shows it to you. I hope that you are willing to pray, God, show me what you want me to do. Here am I, send me, to use the words of Isaiah. Show me what it is you have in store for me this year. And when He shows you, I pray that you will walk into those opportunities, walk through those doors that He gives you. So today, though, God tells us that there are some things that we're not supposed to look back on. As we start to move forward into this new year, into our jobs, into our careers, into our callings this year, God says, look, I want you to keep your eyes focused forward. I want you to keep your eyes on my plan, and I don't want you to look back. So our basic scripture today is Luke 9:62. It's on the board. And let me tell you how we get to this scripture. This is Jesus. He's been talking to three guys, and He's been trying to get them to follow Him. And they've all been reluctant to do so because of something that ties them to their past. One fella said, well, wait a minute, you know, I like all the comfort I've had in life. I don't want to give up that comfort. And Jesus said, then you cannot follow me. The other said, well, wait, I've got an inheritance coming. I've lived all my life for this inheritance. And I want to get my inheritance, and then I will follow you. And Jesus said, no. And the third guy said, you know, I've got a lot of friends and family back at the house. Can I at least go say bye to them first? And this is Jesus' response from Luke 9:62. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So this was given in an agrarian society where they plowed using oxes. And I found one picture of what happens when you try to plow looking back. So let's see what happens. That's not exactly a straight line, is it? And see, God's plan is for us to plow moving forward straight towards His goal. And what happens when we look back, you guys know this, you start to, you know, you turn around just a little bit, your line gets crooked, you get off course. What happens when you are driving and you look in your rearview mirror or side mirrors just for a second? Don't you move a little bit mostly? We do. We do. And it's because we're looking back. And God says, look, I don't want you to look back in certain ways. There are things that we need to look back on. How have we grown spiritually this year? What have we learned? How have we matured? What has God revealed to us? Those lessons are great. But a lot of times at New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, we look back on things, and we do it all through the year, that we really don't need to be looking back on. Because they get us off course. They make our line crooked. They get our attention focused on something else. They get us off track with God. So I want to go through these things that God tells us not to look back on and then give you what you should look forward to this coming year. So number one, the first thing that we do not need to look back on, we do not need to look back on sins that have been forgiven. And here's the promise of God from 1 John 1:7-9. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But, and here's the promise, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins to Him, if we are a child of God and we say, God, I sinned, I violated Your law, forgive me, He is faithful and He is just to do that. And why? Because Jesus Christ came. We studied this during Advent. Jesus Christ came and he gave himself to pay for all of our sins. All the ones we did in the past, those we might be doing at this very moment, and all the ones we're going to do in the future. Those sins have been paid for. There is not a single sin that of a child of God that Jesus did not pay for. So we do not have to sit back and look at sins that have been forgiven. We may have to deal with the consequences of those sins. Sometimes those consequences last for years, but we do not have to beat ourselves up because of sins that have already been forgiven. That is a tool of the devil, and that will get you off track as quickly as that poor fellow plowing backwards. We do not need to do that. And God promises repeatedly that when we become children of His, He does not remember our sins anymore. People have a hard time believing that for themselves. We can say that to somebody else. It's a great evangelical tool. God will remember your sins no more, but then we start thinking about our own sins. How many of you do that? How many of you think about things that you have done in the past that were sins? Yeah, we do that. And the question is, are we learning from those and moving on? Or are we focusing on those? Are we going over them over and over again? Are we in eternal turmoil about that? We shouldn't be. God wants us plowing forward. He wants us moving forward. So everybody turn to Psalm 103. And this is one of those psalms you need to mark, because God, Old Testament, New Testament, we're going to look at both testaments, but God promises us complete forgiveness. And we need to learn, you know, who's the hardest person for us to forgive? Sometimes we think it's our brother or sister that was rude to us all those years. Sometimes it's our parents. But I guarantee you that if you get right down to it, the hardest person that you have to forgive is yourself. Because you will beat yourself up over and over and over again for those past sins, for those past mistakes. And do you know what you can do to change the past? Absolutely nothing. You can change the future. And that's the lesson that Jesus wants us to hear. So look at Psalm 103. Read with me if you will. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your mouth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For if the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you read that psalm and not just feel uplifted? I mean, don't you feel like you're a balloon? Somebody better grab you. You're going to float away. I mean, look at this. God doesn't deal with us anymore as His children on the basis of our iniquities, on the basis of our sins. What He deals with us on is the basis of salvation through Jesus Christ. He does not deal with us anymore on the basis of those sins that have been forgiven. So why should we deal with ourselves that way? Why should we keep focusing on those sins in our past that have been forgiven and we just can't let go? When God, the creator of the universe, who holds the future in his hands, has said, I've put them as far away from you as the east is from the west. I will remember them no more. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Pretty clear. Some people want to say, well, maybe that's a typo. No, let's go back to Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He is not going to call up your sins when you have the blood of Jesus Christ on you. And we need to stop doing that as we move forward in our lives. Everyone in here has been a sinner, is a sinner. We all will make mistakes and sin in the future. What God says is, as you're plowing forward, you're on my path now. You're on my lamp-lit path. Let my word guide you. Follow me. I will give you the light, the direction you need. Don't look back. Don't look back at those past sins. Next one. Do not look back at defeats that get you down. We're all going to fail too. You know, we will come into the new year, we will come into the next hour with a goal of, I don't want to sin anymore. That should be our goal. We know we are because we're human, but that should be our goal. Our perfection should be the goal. And when we fail, we don't need to look back at that defeat. What do we need to do? We need to confess it, say, God, get me back on track and move forward. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The man delights in his way. Here's the next part, though. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Understand what that means. You're walking along. This is the imagery. You're walking along, and you stumble and fall. And the second you fall, God's right hand reaches down and stops you. You will not utterly fall if your goal is to follow Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you won't sin. It means you will not fall. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. You will have persecution. You will have difficulties in life. But you will not ultimately stumble. You will not ultimately fail if you simply keep on that path. You know, the one way the old saying goes to never fail is to what? Never try. That's right. And God says you got to try. When God comes into our life and changes us, we don't have a choice but to try. Because our goal changes from what we want to what God wants. Our goal changes to do the will of God. And that is to take His word outside these walls, to share, to preach the gospel to all creation, to disciple people, to baptize people, to teach them to do all of His ordinances. That's what He wants us to do, and we have that job. Remember last week we saw that He has made us ministers of reconciliation. He's made us ambassadors, mouthpieces for Him. And He's given us a specific message that we are to take to the people that live in this foreign country called the world. Remember, we don't live here anymore. We're just visiting. Our citizenship, our life is in heaven. We are ambassadors here with this message of reconciliation. And that message of reconciliation is, do not look on past defeats that have gotten you down. Don't look at your past sin and think, I'm separated from God, there's no hope. Because there is hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. Don't look at your past failures and say, oh, it's going to happen again. I mean, if you're walking down the street and you see a banana peel in front of you, how many of you are going to say, oh, here we go again? I would hope you step around the banana peel, right? So we don't do the same thing again. And that's what he's saying. Don't let the defeats of your past get you down. All right, the third one. This is a tough one. This third one is don't look at the past as being better than it was. How many of you have ever longed for the good old days? I put that in quotes. Nobody's going to admit to that. All right, one person. How many of you like Bruce Springsteen's song, Glory Days? One person. Y'all are not awake this morning. Okay. We all look back at the past and we long for the past. And here's the thing about the past. We make it better than it was. Why do we do that? Nostalgia. Nostalgia is a really bad pair of eyeglasses, by the way. Because what you're going to remember is all the good stuff. And the good stuff grows. The bad stuff gets minimized. And what we start remembering is, oh, I remember the good old days when we could do this or when we did this or we did this. And we make those good old days better than they were. And we start to live in the past. Live in the past. We don't need to live in the past. We live for the future, just like Jesus said, just like that song said. But we don't need to look at the past. Look at Ephesians 7:10. I want you to turn here. This is a big, big, big verse because I don't just get these lessons from pop culture or songs. We need to get our lessons about how we look at the past from the Bible. Do we need to learn lessons from the past? Sure. But we don't need to think of the past as being better than it was. Ephesians 7:10 says, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these?" Don't say this. "For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." So God is, what did I say? Ecclesiastes 7:10? Oh, okay. Ecclesiastes 7:10. Sorry. Everybody go to Ecclesiastes 7:10. Ecclesiastes 7:10. "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." So God is telling us it is not wise to look back at the past and go, well, gosh, things were better back then. And what's the best example in Scripture? The Israelites are coming out of Egypt where they were what? Slaves, right? They're coming out. They have been in bondage for about 400 years. Pharaoh was heaping all kinds of work on them. And they're in the desert and they get a little bit hungry. And they get a little bit thirsty. God provides water. God provides this manna, this bread. And they get tired of the bread. He provides quail. They get tired of quail. So they're complaining. And what are they saying? Oh, gosh, if we could just go back to Egypt where we had meat to eat. Or Moses, you've brought us out in the desert to die. If we could go back to Egypt, we had food and drink aplenty. And what are they focusing on? They're focusing on that good thing in their mind, that one good thing that they had at that time, which was food and water. What did they forget? What part of nostalgia did they forget to look at? Slavery. See, they don't remember that part. They don't remember the part that was burdening them. They don't remember the part that was getting them down. Now, we would never do this, right? Right? Anybody ever had your friend from high school that you ran around with, did things you don't do anymore, call you up, "Hey, buddy, let's go do what we used to do. Let's go out and fill in the blank." And there's a momentary inkling in your body when you go like, "I wish I could, but." That's what we're talking about. Don't do that. You are a new creation in Christ. We learned last week that when you accepted Jesus Christ, you're completely different. You have a new nature. Your nature doesn't want to do the things that your old nature wanted to do. There's going to be a conflict sometimes, but we don't need to look back lustfully at the past and think, "Oh, gosh, I remember Friday nights when I was young, we could drive around McDonald's for hours," you know, whatever it was you did, and drive the strip, whatever. That's not the way we need to be. We need to be looking at the future. We don't need to look at the past and glorify the past. So don't do that. Next one. I think our bulletin's got a blank missing here. See, this one is, don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. Do not look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. Now, this one's bad, at particularly on New Year's resolution time, because we look and we think, how's our year been? What's going on in this past year? Sometimes we think about conflicts. What happens when you think about conflicts that you've had in the past? You're in a great mood on a beautiful Sunday morning, and you start thinking about this conflict from the past. What happens? Do you change? Does your attitude change? Do the clouds start coming in? They usually do. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, he says, lay aside all this stuff. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Be like a newborn babe desiring the milk of the word. He says, lay all of that old stuff aside. Don't raise up these old conflicts. What if they're 30, 40 years old? We hang on to conflicts. We hold grudges. We hold grudges very well. And God says, don't do that, because the person you are hurting when you hold a grudge is you. The person that you hurt when you raise up all these old conflicts that make you bitter is you. Did somebody do you wrong in the past? Sure. Are you going to forgive them like God has forgiven you? That's what He's calling you to do. But what He's calling you to do is to be healthy, to be spiritually healthy by letting that conflict go and not raising it up every single time that you think about it, because it will make you bitter. And then finally, the fifth one, this is a surprising one to somebody. Do not even look back on old victories that may deceive you into thinking you've arrived. All these things we've looked at so far have been kind of negative things. This one's positive. You've had a good year, or you had a good life. And we tend to look back on those things and we tend to think, okay, I've done my duty. We would say, I rest on my laurels. Anybody ever heard that? Or I got fat and happy. How about that one? Okay? That's not what the Bible tells us we should do. The Bible says if we're here and God is still calling us as He is, then we still have a job to do. It is not time for us to stop. When it is time for us to stop being witnesses for God, being ambassadors for God, He's going to call us home. We'll know when that is. Until we breathe our last, we are not to stop being those ambassadors. We are not to stop telling God's word. We're not to stop looking for the future. And a lot of times we do get that impression. You know, some people, well, boy, you know, when I was young, I was on fire for God, and it's all past tense. What are you doing now? Why aren't you on fire now? Why aren't you as aggressive as you were when you were just saved? Why? Have we gotten cold? Have we gotten tired? Have we gotten old? We've all gotten physically older, I know that, but that doesn't mean we have to be spiritually older in that sense. It doesn't mean we have to be tired. God will empower us through His Holy Spirit to do what He calls us to do. And in Philippians, Paul was writing, he says, look, and you got to remember who Paul was. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was one of the brightest men that was alive at that time. And he says, brothers, I do not count myself to have obtained, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward to that prize. He says, I forget all those things that I did that were, quote, good in the past. I forget all those things that I thought were good in the past that weren't. What I'm looking for now is I have that prize. I have that prize focused in front of me. I'm going to put away anything that's going to slow me down from getting there. I reach forward to grab that prize. That's my goal. I'm on that straight and narrow path, and I'm not leaving. I'm not looking behind me. And I'm not carrying the baggage of all these things behind me. And I'm not resting on my laurels. I've got to run the race, as Paul would say. I've got to finish the race. If you're running a relay race, it doesn't matter who wins leg one, right? It's who wins the race. If you're running a marathon, I might make it past the first mile. It doesn't mean I'm going to finish the marathon. It's who wins the marathon. And we need to remember that. We don't need to look back at our old service, as good as it was, as worshipful as it was, and say, I gave God his due in 2022 or 2023. God says, who shall I send? Not who did I send, who shall I send? And we have to answer, am I willing to go now? Am I willing to do what he wants me to do now? So those are things we should not do. We should not look back at our sins that have been forgiven. We should not look back on defeats that will get us down. We should not look back on the past and think that it's better than it was. We should not look back at old conflicts that make us bitter. And we shouldn't even look back at our old victories, because they tend to make us think we're done, that we've done what we needed to do, and that's just not all. So instead, there are three things I want you to realize. Here's what I want you to look at instead. Number one, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This is the same thing. The writer of Hebrews is saying the same thing. He says, we're looking, and we've got a great cloud of witnesses, these people who have given their lives and given us their examples. Because of their examples, let us lay aside every weight, every burden, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We're going to lay aside that sin. We're not going to think about it anymore. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. That's our goal. Our goal is to see Jesus. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Our goal is to give his message. Our goal is to act like him, be his disciple. In everything we do, we looked at this. We look at Jesus in everything, through everything. And the last one, if you remember, was with everything. With everything we got, we look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who saved us. He is the one who has called us to do his will. So instead of thinking about our past sin, instead of thinking about our past, we're going to say, Jesus, what is it you want me to do? And we do that through prayer. We do that through reading the Bible. We do that through opening our hearts and minds. We do that by responding to circumstances. God will put doors in front of you that you won't even realize are doors he put there until you go through them. Y'all ever had that experience? Here's an opportunity, and it's like, well, this is just an opportunity to give somebody a lift or something. Next thing you know, you're sharing the gospel. This is an opportunity just to give somebody a fruit basket. How'd that work out? Did you get to share the gospel? Yes, you did. So God puts these in your path. Remember, for Christians, God has called us to salvation and to good works, which he has foreordained beforehand, said we will walk in them. He's given us these works. He's given us the opportunities that we're going to have. So number one is look to Jesus. Number two, look to the fields, because the harvest is plenty. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. Simple message. Why do we want to go harvest? Why do we want to go work the fields? We're saved, right? We will not add one thing to our salvation by going and working. By taking the message out, we will not add one thing to our salvation. But what do? We glorify God. Jesus said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And he told us that when we become saved, we will bear fruit. It's not a if we might bear fruit. He said, you will bear fruit some 30, some 60, some 100 times. A true child of God will bear fruit. We'll work in this wheat field. We'll work to harvest the grain so that the bread can be made. We'll work to harvest what's there to be harvested. And maybe we don't ever get to harvest. Maybe we're simply the ones that continue to water, continue to put fertilizer down, continue to put the word down. And we watch that wheat grow up and it just, somebody else comes along and harvests. That's okay. Because we're working, we're laboring, we're doing what God has called us to do. And third, here's the last thing, and you need to believe this, because if you are a child of God, you know this is a true statement. The best is yet to come. God is coming back. When He comes back, He's going to call His church home. We will go to heaven to spend 7 years with Him while the tribulation just tears apart this planet. And then we will come back and rule and reign with Him for the 1,000-year reign. And then there will be the eternal heaven and the eternal earth. I mean, that is going to be awesome. And we read the descriptions of those things in Revelation and in the Old Testament. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more death. There's no more sin. That's the best is yet to come. And here's the thing, folks. We really don't want our loved ones. We really don't want our family going through this tribulation time, do we? We want our family, our loved ones. We want those that we come into contact with to say yes to Jesus Christ, to look to Him for salvation, to say, yes, Lord, what is it you want? To be safe and secure. Go back to that song. He holds the future in His hands. He does. So our motivation has to be to take His word out there, to tell people to look to Jesus, to tell people to look to Him for salvation, to help them any way we can to understand who He is, to put their faith in Him, so that they can go with us and understand the best is yet to come. You know, you think about another line in that song about death. When death gives way to what? Anybody remember? Victory. Death is victory, folks. You will never sin again. You will never be burdened with sin. You will be forever with Jesus Christ. That should be the desire of our heart. If you're sitting here today and you've never, ever put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have that desire yet. Jesus is calling you. He wants you to answer. He's given you, He's laid out the plan. He says, anyone, whosoever believeth in Me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We simply need to confess Him as Lord, admit that God raised Him from the dead, and put our faith in Him, and we become children of God. We become capable of living this kind of life where we can look forward to everything that's in the future, even though the world may look at it and go, oh my gosh, that's horrible. You know, no, that's just next step. If you're here today and you've not done that, you need to do it. The gospel's been presented to you. Christ came to die for your sins according to the Scripture. He went to the cross as He said He would. He was put in that tomb, and 3 days later He arose from the dead just like Scripture said He would. And He was seen by over 500 people. It's not a debate as to whether He was resurrected. The debate is, what are you going to do with His resurrection? And if we're children of God already, we do get tired. We do look at our past. We think, man, how could you know, God, how could you save somebody like me? Why would you want to save somebody like me? God saved you because you have a unique story. You have a unique story that you can share with somebody else. Is it a story of addiction, failure? Whatever it is, there is somebody that He has planned for you to reach. One of the things we're going to study as we go into the new year is learning to tell the difference between God's voice and the voice of others. And here's one thing I want to share with you. God may act in your life individually, but He never does things solely for you. Think about that. Think about every story in the Bible, even the story of the thief. The thief didn't get off of that cross to talk to anybody about Jesus Christ, did he? He died. We're still talking about that thief 2,000 years later, and we're still looking back at the glorious salvation that that crook, who had nothing to give Jesus Christ except his faith, that glorious salvation that he experienced when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, today you will be with me in God's garden. That man died knowing he was secure. That man died knowing that he had put his faith in the Son of God who was going to resurrect him. We need to never forget that, folks. As Christians, we get tired sometimes. Think about that thief. Think about Paul, who gave his life to share this gospel. Shipwrecks, beatings, floggings. He was about dead 3 or 4 times, right? Snake bites, all kinds of stuff. But what did he keep doing until the very day that he died? He shared the gospel. When he was done, God called him home, as he will do you, but not 1 second before. So pray this year that God will show you what he has in store for you. And then I pray for you that when he does, you say, I'm ready, let's go. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunities that you are going to set before us. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that you gave us a clear message that your Son, Jesus Christ, was the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who has never come to you, they accept Jesus Christ this morning and they say, I put my faith in you and you have my life, Lord. You are my Lord and my Master. Father, for those of us that are Christians, I just pray that we may get tired, Lord. We may get run down. We may get sick. But I pray that you will always give us that strength, that inner power through your Holy Spirit to do your will, to recognize what you're telling us to do, and to willingly say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Encourage us all, Father, strengthen us all so that we may do your will, not looking back, because we wouldn't be fit for the kingdom if we're trying to head to Jesus, looking back and looking back at our sins and looking back at our past failures. Let us look to Jesus and what he asks and say, yes, Lord, I am willing and I am able. Father, we thank you for these opportunities, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.